Okay, Eric, if we could have the recording turned on, please. Good? Okay. So last week we began the study of the book of Ruth. We spoke about how Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons left their home in Israel during a famine and went to live in the land of Moab that was pagan. While in Moab, the two sons married Moabite women. Afterwards, Elimelech and his two sons died. Even that the famine in Israel was over, Naomi arose to return to Israel. She had a change of heart and made a decision to return to the land where God had placed her. Ruth, a daughter-in-law of Naomi, made a commitment to her and to the Lord and returned with Naomi. We said that if we want restoration in any part of our lives, maybe we should examine our commitment to the Lord. Is it a most serious commitment? Will it stand the test of trials, temptations, heartaches, difficulties? Do we love the Lord to the point that we will never leave Him and that our commitment to Him will always be sure? Will anything break or weaken our commitment to Jesus? Naomi returned to the land where God had placed her. Ruth committed her life to the Lord, and then restoration occurred. This morning, I would like to speak about the Lord's awesome capability and work of restoration. Last week, we spoke mainly about the loss that Naomi went through. This week, we're going to speak about God's awesome restoration. So if we could turn to Ruth chapter 1, if you find the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, it's right before 1 Samuel. If you're in the book of Judges, it's right after the book of Judges. Okay, give you a moment to get there. A small chapter, a small book, easy to miss. But we'll be in Ruth chapter 1. We'll read verses 19 to 22, and then move to Ruth chapter 2. So Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. So they both, in other words, Naomi and Ruth, so they both went until they came to Bethlehem. When they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And we'll continue in the second chapter and read verses 1 to 7. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, May the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned to Naomi with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. So Naomi arose and returned to Israel, and Ruth was committed to go with her. Now think of it. Let's read in between the lines. It must have been very difficult for Naomi to see her property after 10 years. 10 years had gone by. The farm was probably overgrown with weeds. Think of the condition of the house. Rodents, cobwebs, unpleasant odor from neglect. Try to imagine how difficult it was for Naomi to walk into the property, onto the property, considering that the last time she was there, her husband and her two sons were with her. Try to think of the memories and the flashbacks that she must have had that broke her heart. And in verse 20, she said, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." The Lord does not deal bitterly with anyone. He is not vindictive. A person may be out of the will of God, and then there are consequences. God allowed Naomi and Ruth to return to Israel during the barley harvest in the springtime. It was a nice time of year to travel. The Lord blessed them with the harvest. When you return to the Lord, He has blessings in store for you. If you take one step towards the Lord, He will go a mile or more towards you. Boaz was a man who was known for his character, was well respected and well liked. He was a pious man. Boaz may mean strength. Now the presence of the Lord was evident in Boaz's life. Do people see the presence of the Lord in our lives? Good question. The last line of the song that we sing, "Sitting at the feet of Jesus," says, "May I prove I've been with Jesus." Can people see that we have been with Jesus? How much time do we spend with Jesus? Do we spend enough time with Jesus that people know that we have been with Him? How much of the Lord has rubbed off on us? Boaz was related to Elimelech, Naomi's late husband. Boaz was of the tribe of Judah. Keep in mind, so was Jesus. And this fact will become significant at the end of the book of Ruth. Boaz's mother was Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho who hid the spies. Remember the woman who despised? She hid the spies. The prostitute was Rahab. She hid them. Boaz was her son. Speaking of restoration, Joshua 6:24 tells us that after the fall of Jericho, Rahab lived with God's people. Most likely, she accepted God into her life so that He was able to restore her, and then she raised a son like Boaz who walked in the ways of the Lord. It doesn't matter who a person is or what they have done in his or her past. If he or she accepts the Lord into his or her life, He can restore or change anything. We sang this morning, it is no secret what God can do. And it says in that song, "With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." If you are praying for someone's salvation or restoration, don't stop praying. Don't give up. It is no secret what God can do. Don't give up praying. Don't look at the circumstances and say, oh, why pray? Keep praying. It is no secret what God can do. Rahab is in the ancestry of Jesus. She was a prostitute in Jericho. Then she accepted the Lord. Her life changed. She raised a son like Boaz, a very pious man. And she got included in the ancestry of Jesus. How did that happen? Well, we'll find out at the end of the chapter. Ruth, who married Boaz, has a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. And you know the rest from there. Jesus comes from the ancestry of David. With this in mind, we want to remember the words of Jesus in chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God can restore anyone and anything, and he is very willing to do it. He is a God of restoration, and this fact is still true this morning. There's nothing that he can't handle, nothing. Speaking of restoration, there's the song, When Jesus Comes. It should be up on our slide over here, on our screen. There's a line, the last line of the chorus, When Jesus Comes. It says, when Jesus, or the chorus says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Ruth went to glean in Boaz's field. Now glean means to gather grain left behind by the reapers. God, being very considerate for the poor, very concerned for them, command the reapers to leave some of the harvest for the poor so that they could glean. So as we said, glean meant to gather grain left behind by the reapers, and God, being very concerned for the poor, commanded reapers leave some of the harvest for the poor so that they could glean. You can find this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and Leviticus 23:22. So Ruth went to get leftovers. But God's work of restoration had begun, and God had much more than leftovers for Ruth and Naomi. When the Lord restores, he doesn't give leftovers. He gives in abundance. You don't get leftovers with God when he restores. He gives in abundance. And when he fills to overflowing. If you are in need of restoration, don't be deceived by your current situation. When the Lord restores, he can change anything and even makes great changes that a person never even imagined. He can do things that you never even dreamed of. It is no secret what God can do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Way beyond what you even think he can do. You can trust the Lord to complete any process of restoration. Now, Ruth in the field meets Boaz. Let's read Ruth chapter 2 and verses 8 to 23. little bit of reading here, but this is a beautiful story. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 to 23. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here by my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you." Sounds like Cupid got involved over here. "When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and she served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she arose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it for her, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." The mother-in-law returned to work and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maid, so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So Boaz saw Ruth and told her that when she was thirsty, to go and get a drink from the water jars that were filled. What did Jesus say in John chapter 7, verse 39 at the feast? "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus offers living water, the Holy Spirit, to those who seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ruth told Boaz that she was a foreigner. We didn't belong to God's family. sin made us an enemy of God. But Jesus, who restored our lives, looked at you and I as his beloved enemy and decided to become the sacrifice for our sins so that we could become part of his family. Ruth asked Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your sight? Why do we find favor in Jesus' eyes?" Well, we can find an answer in the second verse of the hymn, which states, "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree." Boaz gave food and drink to Ruth, and she had enough food for herself and also for Naomi. And in verses 15 to 17, Boaz ordered his servants to leave extra grain stalks of wheat for Ruth. According to records at that time, the harvester would take home 1 to 2 pounds of wheat or grain per day, 1 to 2 pounds. Ruth had about 30 pounds of grain and wheat to take home. About 30 pounds of grain to take home, not 1 or 2 pounds. She also took home leftover cooked grain for Naomi. This information shows us that when God restores, he gives in abundance. His hands are full. He fills to overflowing. No one can restore and give the way God can. Think of what happened. Those who gleaned took home about 1 to 2 pounds of wheat and grain per day. Ruth took about 30 pounds home. When God restores, no one can give and restore the way God can. His hands are full. At this point, Ruth didn't know it, but she met her Redeemer. Very important point here. What's a Redeemer? A Redeemer is someone who recovers ownership of something, someone, made by making a payment. Important point, let's repeat that definition. A Redeemer, someone who recovers ownership of something, someone, by making a payment. What happened to you when you met your Redeemer, Jesus? Think of it. Can you agree with the hymn that we sang this morning? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. No one gives like God. No one can satisfy your soul like Jesus. He fills to overflowing by his Holy Spirit. No one can restore life like Jesus. As we sang this morning, I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. What a treasure we have in knowing Jesus. Absolute truth, there is none like Jesus. Jesus became one of us and is our kinsman Redeemer. Can you say that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you? The best event that ever happened in your life? What are the results of the redemption? Well, you can find them in Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Boaz redeemed the land. And in the book of Ruth in chapter 4, it describes the process. And Boaz redeemed the land that had belonged to Elimelech and Naomi. And he married Ruth and had a son named Obed, which we spoke about before. Ruth gave birth to the son, but the women said that Naomi had a son. You can find that in Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. Now consider Naomi's past. She lost her husband and 2 sons in Moab. I mean, one loss is enough. She lost her husband and two sons in the Moab. Her land in Israel was neglected for 10 years, most likely looking like it was in ruins. Like we said before, when she got back to the house, probably saw cobwebs over there, overgrown ground, a bad odor in the house, maybe rodents running around. It was in shambles, 10 years neglected. The land was in ruins. Now the land was restored through Boaz, and she had a son, Ruth had a son, and Naomi had what could have been considered a grandson, through Ruth having a son. Boaz could have been considered a son-in-law. Considering all her losses, she never expected this, I'm sure. Naomi was no longer Mara, which means bitter and empty. The great Redeemer God had restored her. With God, all things are possible. He can and does the unexpected. Don't lose faith in your prayers for restoration. Even if you have prayed and nothing has happened yet, keep praying and petitioning the Lord. God has not changed since the time of Ruth and Naomi. This morning, one touch from the Master's hand can restore any form of ruins, spiritual ruins, emotional ruins. Remember, he's the healer of broken hearts. He can restore ruins of health. He can restore financial ruins. No one restores like the Lord. He can do anything. That's not cliche. It's just not a nice saying. He can do anything, far beyond what we could even think. What about the price of our redemption? Along with this account of redemption, the book of Ruth, consider our redemption and the price paid for it. In the Bible, Boaz is a representation of the Lord Jesus. Applications of how Boaz treated Ruth are how Jesus, our Redeemer, treats us. Boaz gave money to redeem the land that belonged to Naomi and Elimelech. But Jesus gave his blood, his life, through a most horrific suffering and death in order to redeem us. Jesus paid for our redemption with unknown pain and suffering and agony with his blood, his life. Psalm 103 verse 4 states, "Who redeemed your life from the pit being hell." In the book, The Redeemer, the author wrote that Jesus' highest title is that of Redeemer. Jesus' highest title is that of Redeemer. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 tells us, "You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Jesus paid the price for our redemption and salvation, but where are we today in our spiritual walk? Have you strayed from the Lord? Have I strayed from the Lord? This morning he wants you to return to him as did the prodigal son to his father that we spoke to a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you need to arise out of some condition, as Naomi did, so that the Lord could restore you. Maybe you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus in preparation for the restoration. Remember, the restoration that Naomi and Ruth experienced was after a commitment and recommitment to the Lord. Maybe you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus in preparation for restoration. Whatever action you need to take, it will be worth the effort for restoration in your life. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So I'm going to stop there. We're going to get down to pray. And someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message. Then we're going to sing a last hymn. So let's get down to pray at this point. Anyone can pray, whether here or online. However the Holy Spirit leads you. You open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will fill it. We're going to conclude, we have up on the screen the last slide, Child of the King. And remembering, we have Bible study Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And also next Sunday morning, we have service here at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we have the slide, Child of the King. It's on the memory stick.
Child of King, praise God,
praise God, I'm the child of a king. Lord Jesus, we couldn't ask for any better. There's no higher calling than to be a child of a king, a heavenly king, the King of Kings. Talk about royalty. We are your children. That surpasses all royalty. We want to thank you, Lord. You have redeemed us. Not with money as Boaz used. It was wonderful what Boaz did. But Lord, you redeemed us with your blood, with your life. Redeemed us from hell. What more could we ask for? Lord, we want to be totally grateful to you, not only with words, but with our actions, with our very lives. Worship you and praise you every day. Lord, we pray you will be with us as we go to our homes, Lord, and that we would go with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God be with you all. God bless.
God bless you, Jonathan, and God bless you, Rose.
Thank you.
God bless those online.
God bless everybody. Praise God. Welcome back, Rose.
Thank you.
God bless.
Jonathan, have a blessed week.